I'd like to move now to Q&A panel section of our program. We're a bit short on time, so I think we'll just ask one or maybe only just a couple questions of each presenter, but to give a chance to each of you to address a couple of other questions that did come in from the audience here. Helen, I'll start with you, if you don't mind. The questioner asks, how do the state governments interact with both the SNAP-Ed and FNET programs under the current arrangement?
Thank you. The state government relationship to the implementing agencies for SNAP-Ed, the funds actually come to the state government. And so in that case, the decisions that are made, the implementing agencies would work with the state government in determining what those programs would look like. For SNAP-Ed, for FNEP, there should be a relationship, an ongoing relationship among people who are involved in nutrition education. For example, the universities may be working with the state agencies in terms of like where programming is found, where programming is conducted, working with the WIC agencies, working with the SNAP agencies and education and others, even agriculture. And those relationships are particularly important in developing that environmental context or environmental settings where real change can happen. And if that is not happening, I would encourage that state governments and universities start working to strengthen those relationships. They're critical.
All right. Thank you for that thoroughly response. Dr. Van Sickle, a question here for you asks, how will, in your mind, the increases in orange box subsidies that occur under the provisions of the 2014 Farm Bill, how will those affect the willingness of the U.S. to support effective reductions in AMS caps under a new WTO agreement?
Well, that's a good question. The Farm Bill really sets the tone in terms of where we are domestically and where the direction goes. Now, in terms of what we do in the future, how far out, we're still a long way away from finalizing the Doha round. So I doubt that we'll see significant reductions on the side of the support levels that we're giving without any kind of reciprocity from some of the other countries, and that's going to be a difficult issue, particularly given the current state of affairs economically, globally.
All right. Thank you for that observation. John and Kelly, another question here for you asks, what is the mission, in your mind, of the new Ag and Food Law Research Center, and do we have an idea where that might be located?
The new Ag and Food Law effort will be located primarily at the National Ag Library, but cooperators will be throughout the country. It will depend on who receives the grant opportunities. I think that the purpose of this is to make it easier for people to have access to some of the legal tools and the a better understanding of the legal issues that people face when dealing with food and agriculture.
Clearly a large part of today's agriculture, so could be a very significant benefit coming there, yeah. All right, well, thank you all for your excellent observations and contributions to today's webinar. I'm afraid we've run out of time, and so I'd like to go ahead and close with a couple of final comments. First of all, to point out that today's webinar is one in a series covering details of the new Farm Bill. Our next webinar is intended to address the specialty crop programs, food safety, and Farm Bill implications for the Food Safety Modernization Act, and that will be held next Monday, April 14th. We would also like to hear from you, members of the audience, about topics or presentations you might like to see offered in the future. You can either send those to us via the chat pod on the left side of the screen, or you're certainly welcome to email us with the address that's given there at information@farmmanagement.org. The recordings and other information from today's webinar are also available at the Ag in Uncertain Times website. Our team has hosted well over 100 individual presentations since we began our efforts back in 2009, and the URL on the screen we have used to post presenter slide sets, recordings in video and audio only formats, as well as links to external resources that have been mentioned by various speakers, and also include a companion wiki site. So if you're interested in a copy of any of today's presentation slides or the recordings, we certainly invite you to visit that site for more information. And then finally, we have mentioned a number of different URLs and web addresses throughout today's webinar. So in order to provide you with a single reference for that information, we've compiled a PDF file, which you may now download via the file share pod that we've placed on the screen. To do that, you simply click on the file name listed and then click the Save to My Computer button at the bottom to download the file to your own desktop. Now let me close by again extending our sincere thanks to all of today's speakers for their first-class presentation covering nutrition and food policy, trade implications, and research highlights under the new Farm Bill. I want to thank also all of our many sponsors for their help and support of this webinar series, and thanks to our Ag in Uncertain Times team and their sponsoring institutions for making this series possible. We'd also like to thank all of today's participants in the webinar conference. We sincerely hope that you find today's content of value in your work. We hope to see you again on one of our upcoming programs, and until then, we offer you our sincere hope for success in meeting the challenges of today's uncertain times. Until then, and for the Ag in Uncertain Times team, I'm John Hewlett.